Welcome back to all of our listeners for this week's episode of Questions of Faith. A very warm welcome to our own official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Monsignor John Kennedy.
Hello, Emer.
A very particular week in the life of the Universal Church, a very special week for those of us fortunate enough to be here in the Vatican, because it is the week, the final week of Benedict XVI's pontificate. Before we look ahead to perhaps the rules and norms that govern the congregations of cardinals, the conclave, which perhaps we look more deeply into next week, let's look instead at Benedict. And the reason why I'm saying this is because when you were called or taken or plucked from the Diocese of Dublin, the Archdiocese of Dublin, all those years ago to come to Rome and to work, you were called to work in the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And at the time, the man who was the prefect of that congregation, in charge of that congregation, was none other than Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. So you have direct experience of working under the man who was to become Benedict XVI. So my next question to you is, what are your first memories of your first encounter with then Joseph Ratzinger?
Can I start by saying to you that I entered the seminary in 1986, and the name Joseph Ratzinger was a household name in the seminary. I never thought that for the last 3 years of my training, I would be sent to Rome to study at the Irish College. I didn't ever see him at that time. And then after 5 years of ministry in Dublin, I was asked to come back to Rome to do some postgraduate studies. And I chose to live at the Teutonic College, which is that German college nestled between the Basilica of St. Peter and the Audience Hall, Pope Paul VI's Audience Hall. And it was there that I met Cardinal Ratzinger on an October morning in 1998. He used to come to celebrate Mass at the Teutonic every Thursday morning, in fact. He was quite aware that the German pilgrims would have come down perhaps to be present at the Pope's audience, would have stayed over, and then the next morning would have maybe come to the very famous German college where they knew that he was the principal celebrant at Mass. So the first morning I came down, I was thinking I was being really good. After about 6:45 in the morning, Mass was at 7, and there he was, already vested in his full vestments, praying in the sacristy. He greeted everybody as they would come in. Some faces were very familiar because German groups tend to come back either on a yearly or every or 2 year basis, and he would see priests and parish priests, professors maybe, leading students groups. And he would always go and say, hello, how are you? He'd remember, he had the most extraordinary memory. He would remember where they were, what they were teaching, what they had written, all that kind of thing. And I would have seen him there interacting with all of these German people. But as soon as he went out to celebrate Mass, he would always give a 2 or 3 minute introduction to the Mass with no notes. And it was only afterwards that you began to see where he got all of this information from, because as you'd begin to read the Vatican documents or the Code of Canon Law or the Church Fathers, for example, or maybe even the Psalms or the readings for morning prayer or the Office of Readings, you would see that that 2 or 3 minute homily that he gave with such brilliant clarity was a whole mix and a whole synthesis of the most poignant memories and, I suppose, teachings and highlights, I suppose, of all of the things that were happening in that day on the liturgy. In fact, it got to the stage that towards the end of his time, as we figured that he might be leaving the congregation, that the authorities in the college started actually recording his messages.
As you brought us forward there to the time when you figured that he might be leaving the congregation, you went from being a simple doctoral student to actually working in the congregation under him. What kind of boss was he?
Well, walking into the congregation, if you like, on the first day, meeting the boss was no kind of strange experience, because what I maybe should have said to you was that after Mass, he would come in and join us for breakfast. So we'd sit and there and have breakfast with him. He was a very simple man, had a very simple taste in terms of what he would eat and so on. And after breakfast, he'd get on his coat and just walk into the office. And I sort of used to look at my clock and see, oh, it's 8 o'clock. And then when I went to work with him, I realised the office didn't open until 8:30. So he was in there at least a half an hour before everybody else doing his work. The sort of atmosphere that he created in the congregation was extraordinary. He was like a father, or maybe even like a grandfather. And he had the most wonderful trust in his officials. He would give them tasks to do. And we have this sort of structure in the congregation for analysing and presenting different questions and bringing them to a final decision. And he would listen very carefully to what you'd say. And if you saw him nodding in agreement, or if he said something to you at the end of your presentation which was good and positive, which he very often did, you felt a great sense of, my goodness, I am doing something right. And he was in that job for so many years before I came that he had this great overview of everything and was able to distill so much information into such a small few clear little words that it gave you great confidence for moving forward.
Now, let's take it on to the period where he did actually leave the congregation for the doctrine of the faith, but never really did he? I mean, even as Pope Benedict XVI, he was very much, the liturgy was at the focus of his pontificate, but also the faith was the focus of his pontificate. What are your memories of this pontificate?
It would be impossible to forget the first real day of his pontificate, which was the day after he was elected, because he'd been elected sometime mid-afternoon on the 19th, if I'm not wrong. On the 20th, at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was back in the congregation, not dressed in red or black with red piping, but dressed in white for the first time. We had seen him come out on the balcony. We'd heard the name Joseph, and we thought, oh, I wonder, could that be? We thought that maybe, perhaps, he mightn't be elected because he was 78 and he did express a desire to retire. In fact, he'd stayed on an extra 3 years to help Pope John Paul II. But when we saw him coming back into the office, I mean, our hearts were just completely lifted. And he sat there and he explained to us really two things. The first was the choice of the name Benedict. He said it was due to Saint Benedict himself, who was a great influence in the life of monastic Europe and in the life of religious life throughout the world. And because of his moderation and his simple rule, which is very profound at the same time, he influenced in a very special way the whole living of the Christian life in the monastic setting. And also he chose the name Benedict because after Benedict XV, who was trying to bring Europe back onto the rails after a time of great trouble around the time of the First World War. And then the second thing was he gave us a blessing. I've never seen the officials in the congregation get to their knees in this lovely room that we have as quickly as they did to see. And then we were so moved. It was such an unforgettable experience. We have the photographs to prove it. We had the official photographers there present as well. And every time people come into where I live, they look at the pictures. And it's with great pride that I explain that he wasn't even 24 hours Pope the way he came in the next day to see us. And he always did retain a very strong link. We used to have meetings then every 2 years, which would give rise to an audience with him as well. And he was always very glad to see us, and he'd say, "Ah, oh, what are you doing now? And what job are you? Oh, that's great. And who had that job before you?" So he always maintained a strong link. Of course, our superiors would always go up for their weekly or fortnightly audiences with him and bring the good wishes of the congregation. So we always felt we were in touch with him. In fact, he always referred to us as his congregation.
And in a way, he was, after so many years, at the helm of what is probably one of the most important congregations in the Vatican. Mm. My final question, as someone who knew him, as someone who studied him in a seminary, as a priest, above all, what will be the lasting legacy for you of this pontificate?
Wow, that's a really good question. My mind goes back to his words when he addressed the crowd gathered in St. Peter's. He said that he was a humble servant in the vineyard of the Lord. Humble and servant seemed to go very, very well together, which would, if you like, highlight for me what he was like, because he was always very humble, very quiet. He's a very shy man. He's the complete opposite of what people would have said about him. People would have said to me, oh, you're going to work for him. Isn't he not terrible and horrible and cold and removed? And he's the complete opposite. And his focus was always on the work of the Lord, on the church. In fact, I got to write a lot of letters for him towards the end of his time as prefect, during which time he was receiving a lot of invitations to speak at different gatherings, to open up discussions, to write forewords for books and publications. And he got me to write very kind letters to people saying, look, due to increasing responsibilities at the Roman Curia, I find myself in a position of not being able to accept your kind invitation, and as much as I'd like to do it. So his focus and his dedication for me was always on helping the Pope and on serving the Church. And I think what he's done, even though we're sad to see him leave the chair of Peter, but I think his energies now, he has realised himself, are not sufficient to do it in the best way that he would like to do it. And I think maybe the last thing I'd say is he's focused the whole attention of the Church on the question of prayer. And when people are maybe in their retirement and they're always looking to fill in their days and maybe be productive and do lots of things and travel and do all the things that they've never done before, here's Benedict giving us an example that at the end of one's life, the most important thing you can do is actually dedicate time to prayer.
Monsignor John Kennedy, our very own official at the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, thank you very much for those very personal insights into the man who is still Benedict XVI, but will be remembered as His Holiness Benedict XVI, Pope Emeritus, as of Thursday this week. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Amy.